Microphone on, so I'm going to wiggle a little bit to get this to go. All right, we're good now. We're golden. We're golden. As you can see, I have some dance moves. Only runners can pull off those kinds of shorts, right? Like, could you imagine for a second me in those shorts? That's just awkward. All the guys are excited, which is a little creepy, but that's all right. My name's Gary. Welcome to High Point. Glad you guys are here with us. We're in a series called Dumb Things We Believe. So we've been taking on... Actually, just last week was when it started. So Kyle spoke last week, and he talked about this idea of being a Christian versus a disciple. And one of the things that we believe in the church is that it's okay to just have the title of a Christian, but not to be somebody that's a disciple who's following Jesus. So that's what he talked about last week. And this week, we're gonna keep going with that kind of thought. And if you haven't noticed about yourself, you believe some really dumb things, right? Okay, it doesn't have to just deal with faith, but in all areas of life, we believe some really, really dumb things. I was asking our apprentices this on Tuesday. I was like, what are some really dumb things you've believed? And I'll start with the most awkward one. If you know Emma Jerome, she believes, we could say it, it's fine. She believes that sex is scary, and so she thinks she's going to die a virgin. So, you guys can deal with that. If you have questions, don't come to me with those. But that's something. And then it was really funny also. Think about Santa Claus for a second. Santa Claus, all of us as a child, or most of us as a child, we believe that there's this jolly old big dude that can somehow make it to every single household in one night and give us all the presents we could ever dream of. Like, all of us believe that. Where's Caitlin at? Caitlin believed this until she was 12 years old. Make fun of her later for that, okay? And here's another one, too. The Tooth Fairy, right? How many of you guys had experiences with the Tooth Fairy? Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about the Tooth Fairy is... Shut up, I'm talking. Jeez. Okay. The interesting thing about the Tooth Fairy is that we make it like this really cute thing, like, oh, when a kid loses their tooth, it's, oh, the Tooth Fairy's going to come and put some money under your pillow or some candy or whatever. But when a child loses a tooth, it's not a good thing. Like, that hurts like crazy. I mean, I've seen parents do this where a tooth is, like, loose for their child, so they tie a string around it, and then they tie the other side of the string to a doorknob, and they're like, okay, we're going to make this totally painless, and just, like, slam the door, and you're like, dude, that is child abuse. We need to report that. Has that happened to any of you guys? Oh, surprisingly, quite a few. I'm sorry. Here's the last one that I experienced on Friday night. I went to Red Robin. Red Robin is yummy. But I went to Red Robin, yeah, with G over here. So he was telling me, here's something really dumb that we believe in America. We believe that you should only eat 3 meals per day. In Spain, they have 5. Process this for a moment. Okay, let me. If I mess up, you're going to fix me here. Okay, so he told me they have first breakfast, which is something like cereal or like granola, maybe something like that. Toast, you know, he has a good accent. Then they have second breakfast, which would be a sandwich in the morning. A sandwich for breakfast? I don't do that. That's weird. And then they have meal, right? That's the third one. That's AKA lunch for us, but they call it meal. I'm like, no, all of them are meals. That this is confusing. I don't get this. So they have meal, and then they have snack, which snack is like junk food, right? Like junk food. And what's that? Not very healthy. Okay. Americans can go for that. And then you have dinner, but they eat dinner at 10 p.m. What? Right? Like, this is weird. The thing I'm excited about is the possibility of 5 meals in one day. Like, that's a good thing. But in America, we believe that you only should have 3. That's what's normal for us. But anyways, there's lots of really dumb things that we believe, and it may not relate to faith, but then there are other times that I know for myself, I've believed some really, really destructive things about who God is. Maybe I learned it from a bad church experience, or maybe from a TV show or movie, but all of us, we have these different ideas about who God is, and sometimes when we believe these things that aren't true and they're just kind of dumb, they can cause us to look at God in the wrong kind of way. And so the thing I want to talk about today, the big idea is we think that we can please everyone, but the reality is we can't. And so God says you can please him. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. If you want to follow along with me, you have a note sheet. You can pull that bad boy out. And the really interesting thing about this too is that, like, while all of us feel this pressure of like, I want people to like me, I want to be accepted, I want to make people happy, there are some people that will buy into this lie that they're like, oh, dude, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm like, I'm awesome. I'm my own person. Like, who cares what anybody says about me? There are people that say that, but I can prove to you that you really do care because you wore clothes today, right? You didn't want to walk into a church service, you know, declothed, right? Because you are worried about what is everybody else going to think of me, okay? And guys, you probably put on deodorant and brushed your teeth today because there's going to be ladies in the room. At least I hope you did. And if you're sitting next to one that didn't, I'm sorry for that experience you might be having. But every single one of us cares what other people think of us. You might have some pride and confidence, say you're the exception, but you're really not. And so I just want to talk about that today. And what can happen is if we go too far down the line of I need to make sure that everybody's happy. If somebody's upset with me, like I can't live like that. I need to do whatever it takes to make sure that they are pleased with me. If you go so far down that road, your life becomes so destructive and you start to do a bunch of things that you regret simply because you care so much about people's opinion about you. Does it really matter that much? So if you want to write down this first note, your first feeling is this. I want to break it down into two pressures that I think we feel. The first one is this, the inward pressure to please everyone. That's kind of what I've been talking about here. I think especially in the high school world, this is just reality, man. You just want everybody to like you, make sure nobody's upset with you. And so the Bible talks about, there's this section of scripture where Jesus is talking about there's two paths that we can take as humans. So he says, there's this wide path that is as scripture would say, a destructive path that most people are going to take. And so there's that side, and then on the flip side, there's this narrow path that leads to life, that leads to eternity in heaven with God. So the Bible breaks down these two paths that we can take. And what you'll find is that on this destructive path is most often it's a bunch of people that are people pleasers. They just want everybody to like them. They don't want anybody to be upset. And so they'll do whatever it takes to get affirmation. And all you have to do is just look at the world of celebrities. Like look at actors and look at musicians. I mean, you think about some of these really famous people. And maybe they started out on the Disney Channel. There's these really innocent kids that have their little, like, Disney show tunes and stuff. And then 10 years later, yeah, who am I talking about? I don't know. But then you look at them 10 years later, and their life is so destructive, and they're doing whatever it takes in order to have fans, to get money, and they're living out all on this wide path. And as a child, they probably weren't like, you know what, I hope in when I'm 25 that I'm addicted to drugs and I sleep around with every single person that I meet. You know, it's not like as a child you think that, but that's what happens. You get sucked into this world because that's where the world wants to take you, into this people-pleasing kind of trap. And let me read this verse out of Proverbs 29 to you guys. It says, "The fear of man is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is protected." In the Message paraphrase, it says it this way. The fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. So this word snare, all it really means is it's a trap. And so this fear of people's opinions, it's a trap that we live in. And most often, we choose to live in this trap and choose to try and please everybody and make everybody like us when none of us like to live like that. Like, that's no fun. I mean, think about maybe when you were a kid, this is what my dad would do to me. He would like pin me down and we'd be like kind of wrestling or whatever. And then he would like get me on my back and then put his knees on my arms and then start like tickling the crap out of me. And so I'm like freaking out trying to get out of it. But I was like a very small child and I still kind of am that big. So it's okay. But like I hated that feeling of like being trapped. And then you look at like maybe your pets and your dog, for instance, dogs hate being on a leash. That's like the least fun thing. They want the freedom to go wherever they want. They want the freedom to pee on anything they see. Like that's the way they are, but we like put a leash on them. And it's funny because now like parents put leashes on their children, which is really, really sad that that's what happened. Especially when you go to a place like Disneyland, you're like, oh my gosh, this is not good. I don't think this is okay. But I've been thinking about this, and I might need to get one for Jad because... So he started, I told you guys a couple weeks ago, he started walking when he was about 9 and a half weeks. 9 and a half weeks, no, 9 and a half months. That'd be weird. Can you picture? That'd be really funny. But he didn't start walking. He started running at 9.5 months. So it's so funny. I'll just be like hanging out with him and maybe I'll get distracted by something. And all of a sudden he's like across the room like, Chad, get out of the road. What are you doing, you little crazy child? And that, recently he's been trying to get up onto our kitchen table a lot. And he's kind of like the party boy or whatever. But here's a picture of the first time he did this. Lindsay and I were on our computers. Go ahead and throw it up there. We were on our computers, and then all of a sudden we see him just chilling. And look at, you know, he like knows he did something wrong. But he's just like, I'm so cute, I can do whatever I want. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're totally right. You can do whatever you want. But nobody likes to feel trapped. Kids, man, if they have the leash on them, man, that's the worst thing. They just want to be able to run and go and have a ton of fun and do whatever they want. But the reality is we choose to live trapped under this idea that we can please everybody around us. And so we make decisions based on what people might think of the decision we make. So we don't actually do what maybe we feel is right because we're like, oh, well, I feel this pressure of like, oh, this person's going to say something about me or I'm going to make this person mad and they're not going to like me anymore. And so that's how we make our decisions. And it's kind of funny. I was thinking about this week. And when I first became a Christian, you guys are going to love this. This is so funny that this happened. So I became a Christian. I was 20 years old. And there was this girl that I thought was, you know, pretty cool chick. So I was starting to like get to know her and everything. And one of the cool things about when you become a Christian is that you get this thing called spiritual gifts. And hers, she had the spiritual gift of hot. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to try and go for this, you know. And so she was a girl that like grew up in church. And, you know, she knew all the right things to say, all the right things to do. Then you got me that became a Christian at 20. I'm like, what is up, people? How you doing? You know, like that's how I was growing up. And so you have these two kinds of people. And so I'm like, I'm going to ask her out on a date. So I decide that the best possible date would be to take her to a Dane Cook comedy show. And if you haven't seen or heard Dane Cook, it's not the most wholesome family entertainment that you're going to find out there. And so I got this conservative Christian girl. I'm like, oh, we're just going to go and have a great time. It's going to be really funny, a good show. So I was in California and drove down to Hollywood, and we sit down, and I'm like so excited. And then Dane Cook gets up to do his whole bit and everything. And it was really cool because when he walked down, I had an aisle seat. He walked down. He touched my elbow. Haven't showered since then. And so he gets up there. He's doing his whole bit and everything. It's like super awesome. And I'm cracking up, and I'm looking over her, like giving her the nudge, and she's just like, I'm like, what? Do you have diarrhea? I don't know what's going on. Like, is there something? And so I'm like, well, we'll just keep watching the bit and see if she'll loosen up. So I'm like, just chuckling, having a good old time. And then I look over and I'm like, no? Oh, sorry. So eventually we end up leaving the place early because she was so uncomfortable. And then like the whole ride home, it was like an hour long ride. She didn't say a word to me because she was so mad that I took her to this place. And for me, I'm a new Christian. I'm like, I just thought it'd be funny. Like, I didn't know any better. And so then the next day, we decide to get together to kind of like hash it all out and everything. And so we meet up and she's like, you know what? I've decided that we probably shouldn't date because I'm really upset about last night. And I just don't think that it's going to work. And for me, my world was crushed. I was like, oh my gosh, no, this girl doesn't like me anymore. Like, what am I going to do? She's upset. And I'm like telling her all these different things. And you guys have probably done this when somebody like breaks up. You're like, I'll do whatever it takes to make sure we can make this work. And the other person's already like, no, it's not going to happen. And really what I was telling her was, I'll become whoever you want me to be in order for you to like me. And so, I mean, think about that. How often does that happen in relationships where maybe you go into a relationship saying, I'm not going to push any of the physical boundaries. Like, here's where my line's going to be, and I'm going to just cut it off there. But then you get in a relationship, you have all these emotions. You're like, well, this guy I'm dating really wants to, like, do some more stuff. So I feel like, I'll just do it. I'll just to make the guy happy. And so then you make decision after decision, and you're in this destructive relationship that eventually it's not going to work out anyways because the guy's using you for your body. And then you're wondering, well, how did this happen? And it all started with thinking that as long as I can just become whatever person this guy wants me to be, or maybe if you're a guy in the room, this girl wants me to be, then my life's going to be good. I just need to make sure I make this person happy. Has to like me. I got to make sure I please this person in every single way and say the right things. And so we feel this pressure so much in relationships, and it just leads to a bunch of destruction. And as you think about this a little bit more, going back to how I was talking about how like celebrities, as a kid, they don't start out thinking like, oh yeah, here's what my life's going to be like in 10 years. I mean, how many girls, when they're in elementary school, think, you know, I want to lose my virginity by the time I'm 13 or 14. That's kind of my goal. Like, no, they're playing with Barbies and little toy houses or princess houses. Like, that's their life. But then something happens when you hit teenage years and you feel all this pressure, and then you make decision after decision of regret and like, ah, I told myself years ago that I would never do these things, but it's something that I've ended up doing. Write down this as your second thing. So you got the first one, the inward pressure to please everyone. The second one is the outward pressure to avoid criticism. This happens in tons of different ways. It can happen like you don't want to be the person that stands up for what's right because then you're going to be known as the Christian that's the rule follower. You're boring. You don't have any fun. So you're like, I don't really want to like own this faith thing. It's just going to be a title for me. And then it can happen kind of the opposite too. There's this really interesting story in the Bible where there's this guy named Peter who was one of the guys that started the early church that basically we are a continuation of that today. So this guy, Peter, Jesus called him out and said, I want you to be like the rock that my church stands on. You're going to be one of the guys that starts this whole thing. So he calls him out and invites him into that whole life. And so he starts to preach to just basically anybody that he finds. And so the cool thing is that he chooses to go and preach to all these people that were known as Gentiles. So the people that were the non-Jews, because back in the day, Jews believed that the Messiah, Jesus, was going to be like just for them, and the Gentiles were kind of screwed out of the whole religion thing and the faith thing. So he's like, you know what? Jesus invites everybody in, so I'm going to be somebody to kind of lead the way and start telling all these people that don't know about Jesus about him. So he does that, and then what happens is he has some friends from kind of the church world that come to hang out with him, and he freaks out. He's like, I don't want all my like church friends to think bad of me because I'm hanging out with all these people that they've said are like, these people can't know God. They're the Gentiles. They're kind of excluded from the Jesus thing. So he's like, I can't hang out with them. So he stops hanging out with them. And here's what it says in Galatians. It says, when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised. Awkward. But afterward, when some friends of James came, so James is the guy that's like the religious dude that kind of knew all the rules and everything, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. So he caves under this pressure of like, oh, I don't want to be criticized for this. Like, they're going to think that I'm like some like non-Jesus-y person because I'm hanging out with the people that have the reputation of not loving God. And so he's like, I can't hang out with them anymore because my religious buddy's here, so I need to just chill with him and we get our little religious powwow going on. And so I want you to underline in that verse, afraid of criticism. See, he turns his back on all these new believers, and it's all because he's worried about what religious people are gonna say. And, I mean, I can just tell you for myself, like, this is something that I've experienced a lot as a pastor. You might be surprised to know this, but when you're somebody that, like for me, I'm like, all I really want to do is help people. But for some reason, people get really pissed at me about that. I'm like, I don't even know, what did I do? But I have so many people that have, like, criticized me over the years of being here because, I mean, if you haven't noticed, we do things pretty differently around here than a traditional kind of church setting. So I have like all kinds of people that will be like, well, Gary, you can't talk about those topics at church. Like you said sex at church? You can't do that. And I'm like, well, what's the big deal? Like it's part of life. And so they're like, you can't talk about that. You shouldn't be talking about like suicide. You talked about on Easter Sunday, you talked about suicide. You should be talking about the resurrection. Duh. And I'm like, no, let's just talk about whatever I feel like talking about. I'm in charge. Shut up. You know, that's what I say back to him. Usually doesn't go over well when I do that. But like that kind of stuff, or the videos we use, you know, like I like to use stuff from like The Office or Community or Modern Family, and people are like, Modern Family, but there's a gay couple on that. You can't do that in church because then you're telling everybody that they should be gay. I'm like, what? You're crazy. Like, go somewhere else. Pick a different church, please. Anywhere but here. It's not that mean. It's just making sure that they're going to be happy somewhere else because I won't make them happy. Or this is one of my favorite ones, too. This was really good. At Dunes 2 years ago, I was in the band. Dunes is our junior high camp that we do every year. I was in the band, and so there was this kid I was talking to. And junior hires are hilarious because they're oblivious to anything happening outside of their own little world. So I'm sitting with this guy talking and just asking him, so how's the camp going for you? Having a good time? He's like, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm like, so what are you liking about camp? So he's telling me like he loves all the games, but then he's like, but I really don't like the band. I'm like, this is awkward. So I'm looking at him, and I'm registering that he has no idea that I'm somebody that's in the band. So then I just kind of play along. I'm like, oh, really? Like, why don't you like the band? What's wrong? He's like, well, it's just so loud in there, and like people are jumping and dancing, and it's like, you can't do that at church, because at my church, there's an old 80-year-old woman that gets up there, and she plays an organ, and we sing out of a hymnal. So I don't know, like, it shouldn't be okay to be doing that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, really? Man. Well, I love the band. The band is awesome. Like, they're so good. And then I was hoping that he would notice me up there and be like, ooh, I feel bad about that. He never noticed. He's in junior high. But I think that happens, too, on Sunday mornings. People, they come in here, maybe you're new around here, and you notice that, like, we like to kind of party it up and dance around for music. And we don't explain these things, so I want to explain it to you so that way you understand. And I'll say this, too. If it were up to me, we'd never do another song that caused people to jump ever again. Like, if it were my decision. Honestly, those aren't my favorite songs. I love songs 3 and 4 that are kind of the chill ones. I'm like, ah, these are the ones that, like, I just totally get into. But the reason we do it is because there's a room full of junior hires over there that are nuts. And so they need to get their energy out so that way when they're done in here, they can go in there and they can actually focus on what's being, like, talked about. And so we don't make decisions based on, like, well, what does Gary want? Or what do all the people want? We think about, okay, what's going to be best for the audience as a whole? And because we have junior hires, it's like, well, we're going to do music that's kind of crazy. And it's cool because a lot of you high schoolers, you love it too. But just so you know, maybe you're new around here and you're just like, I don't really like that. The purpose is not, honestly, it's not about you. And you just need to know that. Like, we don't make decisions just based on what the insiders like and everything. That's just not how things are here. And so my point out of that, whether it's related to church life, your life outside of that, what you're going to do in your future, for your career, go to college, all these things, if you listen to what your critics say, it's going to be really hard to hear what God says. And so you just have to recognize that. Who is going to get your attention? Is it going to be all these people that are saying, oh, well, I don't like this about your life, or I don't like this about you as a person? Or you just be like, okay, God, like, how do I please you? How do I make you happy and make you my ultimate goal of, like, that's where I want my affirmation to come from, not from all these people that are my critics? And I've just learned, like, as I get older, man, criticism just has less effect. And I think you guys will realize that. I think high school and junior high is the peak of when you really feel this pressure of, like, I need to make everybody happy. But as soon as you kind of get out of college and stuff, things kind of change. And I've noticed that because I used to care so, so much that, like, my messages when I'd get up here and talk would be so perfect and that people would walk away and be like, oh, Gary's the best speaker in the world. And then I just realize that I'm never going to be that. There's so many people that are going to be way better than me. And if all I do is listen to my critics, like, oh, I didn't like that Gary said this, or I wish Gary was funnier, I wish Gary could, like, teach out of the Bible, like, more deeply or something like that. If I try and listen to all my critics, then I become whoever they want me to become instead of who God says, here's who I want you to be, Gary. And I think the bigger realization I had, and this is really important for you guys to get, my preaching doesn't change lives. What? I don't get it. No, seriously, my preaching doesn't change any single thing about your life. And once I realized that, and I was like, you know what? You know who changes your life? Jesus does. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and you inviting the Holy Spirit to live inside you, and you go, okay, God, what do you want to teach me? That's who changes lives. It's not me and based on if I'm, like, the best speaker in the world. And so my point there is that if you come here and you're just like, well, the talks don't make me happy. I wish that the talks were better, and I walked away thinking, like, I can take over the world for Jesus. If that's what you're thinking is going to happen every week, I'm going to let you down a lot, bro. Like, that's just not the reality of how it's going to work around here. And ultimately, that doesn't work anyways, because on Monday, you just go back to school and you're like, oh, what did we talk about on Sunday? I don't understand. Oh, actually, I heard this stat. I heard that for pastors, this is really depressing when this is my job, that by Wednesday, all of you forget 95% of what I said on Sunday. For some reason, I still spend a lot of time on these talks. Don't know why. Anyways, but yeah, so I don't want you to think that it's just like, oh, we got to make sure we have like the best message and the best stuff. It's all about being in community with each other, walking alongside each other, saying, hey, God, what do you want to do in my life? And how can I respond to you with whatever is being taught to me? Last thing, write this down. You can't please everyone, but you can please God. You guessed that one, Mikey? Nice work, bro. Smarter than you look. JK. Better mute. Whew, that was close. You can't please everyone, but you can please God. For yourself, how much time do you spend worrying about what everybody else says about you instead of what ultimately how God defines you? Like, how much of your mind and your heart is consumed with, oh man, I wish my friends would just accept me as I am. I wish my dad would approve of my life. I wish my mom was around. How much time do we spend just worrying so much about all these different people's response to our lives? Let me read this out of 1 Thessalonians to you. It says, but as we have been approved by God, underline approved, and entrusted with the good news, that's how we are telling the world. We aren't trying to please everybody, but God, the only one who can truly examine our motives. Did you know you can be in the center of God's will at any moment of your life? You can be right in the center of what God wants to do, but it's all about your decisions. What do you choose to do? Some of you are doing that today. You're saying, God, I've put off baptism for years, and it's time for me to place myself into your will, or as this scripture would say, to find myself approved by you because I'm choosing to take a step to follow you and obey what you've commanded. And so some of you guys are doing that, but what is it for you that you need to do to place yourself into God's will? Maybe it's you need to get rid of some things in your life, or maybe it's really clear. You just feel like the Holy Spirit's telling you right now, like, here's what I need to do to move forward in my relationship with God. And I'll end with saying this. When I grew up, I played hockey and baseball. Those are my two sports that I totally love, man. And it was so cool because my hockey games would be on Sunday mornings, and they'd be at like 6:30 a.m. It's like an hour-long drive away. But the really cool thing was that my mom would be at every single one of my games. She'd be up in those stands. She'd bring her video camera and film every single game for us so we could watch it later and like critique ourselves and say, oh, I could have done this or that. But as a kid, all of us, if you think about the sport you play, the activity you're involved in, we all love it when our parents show up, right? Like we look in the stands to see if they're there. And I remember doing that every single game. Like I could, before I would even go out there, I'd be like, I know my mom's going to be standing right up there, right by, kind of near the goal. And I'd look up and I'd see her every single week. And it was so cool because I felt like she just was showing how much she just like approved of me. And she's like cheering me on and just like all about being present in my life. And my point with that is, who is it that you are looking into the stands for, hoping that they're going to approve of you? Maybe it's a dad that's not around, or that the only thing your relationship looks like is you guys fight all the time, and that's it. Maybe it's your mom, and you just really wish that they would be present and involved in your life. Maybe it's just your friends. I don't know who it is, but what if we were able to change our mindset and to be looking for God to approve of us rather than these people that are going to let us down over and over again? Because only God can be there in every single moment, and he will never leave you. That's something that's so cool about what the Bible teaches, that God will never forsake or abandon you. Everybody else will. Everybody else will let us down. So what if we were able to choose to look for him in the stands of our life instead? So why don't you guys grab your comm cards, and we're going to take a look at those again. If you didn't fill that out yet, go.